This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, good to be with you.
And Bridget, we are just around the corner now from our Share-a-thon coming up March 11th and 12th?
Yeah, like...
12th and 13th. 12th and 13th,
okay.
I believe.
It's a Tuesday. Yeah, it's Tuesday and Wednesday.
Tuesday and Wednesday, the 12th and 13th. We want to thank some generous donors who have already stepped forward with larger gifts that we can use as matching grants. Now, we can still use a few of those, so if your situation is such that you can make a sizable donation to Catholic Radio, and sizable is whatever you want it to be, you can still do that, and we'll use it during the Share-a-thon as a matching grant. And what we mean is we're going to challenge other listeners to match your gift. So if you say I can do $500 or $1,000, whatever it might be, during the Share-a-thon, we're going to match your gift. We're going to challenge other listeners to call in and collectively match your $500 or your $1,000 or $250, whatever it is. And effectively, we'll be doubling everybody's money. So if you can help us out with a matching gift, it's not too late to do that. You can go on our website, Catholic Radio Indy, and just make a donation there. And in the there's a line that asks for like a comment line. Just put Share-a-thon match there. Or you can just call us here at the station at 317-870-8400, and we're more than happy to help you out getting that all set up. Again, it's 317-870-8400.
Today we're going to be talking about a different aspect of pro-life. There are many, many ways that people can be pro-life, and our guest today, Monica Kelsey, she is the founder of the Safe Haven Baby Boxes, and we're going to talk about her work in the pro-life movement. Monica, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So some people may have not heard of what a Safe Haven Baby Box is. Could you explain what that is?
Sure. You know, the Safe Haven law was enacted back in 1999. Indiana became a part of this statute back in 2001. And basically that law says that any woman in crisis who can't or doesn't want to care for her child, her newborn child under 30 days or less, she can surrender that child at any fire station, police station, or hospital in the state of Indiana. And, you know, that has been legislation for 18 years, and we've had some success with the Safe Haven law itself. But we've also had women that didn't want their identity known. We've had 39 dead babies in our state in the last 18 years, and you have to kind of look at why that's still happening if we have this law that says that you can come into a fire station and hand your child over.
Yeah.
So,
was the problem? Why was that happening? What did you find out?
You know, it's the anonymity. Women want anonymity. There's been multiple cases where women go to these safe haven locations and they leave the child at the doorstep. You know, in Indianapolis, there was a child left at Methodist Hospital outside the door of the ER. And you have to ask yourself, why did this mother go all the way there to surrender her newborn but not walk through the doors and hand the child to a person?
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty clear she didn't want to be identified, whether somebody might know her or she just didn't want to look someone in the eye and feel shamed or judged or anything like that. So I actually came up with the boxes because of a trip in South Africa. And basically it's a box that goes in the side of a fire station or a hospital. And the outside of the box is on the outside of the building, and the inside of the box is on the inside of the building. So basically, we cut a hole like we're putting a window in,
mm-hmm.
and we slide the box through. And a mother in crisis, if she does not want to be identified and she wants 100% anonymity, she can place her child in one of our Safe Haven baby boxes, and within 5 minutes, a first responder will pull that child from the other side of the box. These boxes are alarmed, they're heated, they're cooled. Basically, it's like a housing place for a infant to be safe for 5 minutes or less. And that was enacted in the year 2016, allowing baby boxes to be at locations such as fire stations and hospitals here in the state of Indiana.
Now, I know that there is actually a new baby box, I believe, that has just been put in Carmel. When did that happen? Is that already installed or is that coming up?
Yeah, that went active on December 28th of 2018. It is a box that is active. If a mother chooses to use it, she can. It's on the east side. I'm sorry, the north side of the fire station. I believe it's right off College, and I can't remember the other road, but it's right off College. It's the fire station 45.
And are there many baby boxes around the state of Indiana? How many are there? Where are they located?
We have right now we have them all at fire stations in the state of Indiana.
Okay.
And we have 10 total in two states. We're also legal in Ohio. In Indiana, we have Carmel, one south of Indy, one in North Vernon, Woodburn, Indiana, Cold Springs Fire Department up by Michigan City, Chesterton, and I'm losing thought of where all these are at.
But that's quite a few. I mean, this is a fairly new concept, and the fact that there are that many already rolling. I want to reintroduce you. If people are just joining us right now, we're talking with Monica Kelsey. She's the founder of Safe Haven Baby Boxes. And I want to talk about, let's talk about your story. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into this. You have a very interesting and very powerful story.
Oh, well, you know, thank you. I'm a medic and a firefighter for the state of Indiana, so I've always known about the Safe Haven Law. And I always knew that I was adopted, but I didn't realize all the circumstances leading up to why I was placed for adoption until I was able to meet my biological mother when I was 37 years old. And she was 17 years old. She was brutally attacked and raped, left along the side of the road. And this is back on August 25th of 1972 when abortion was illegal in our country.
Okay.
She pressed charges against the man who had raped her, and he was arrested. He was charged, and then if that wasn't the worst of it, you know, this young woman finds out she's pregnant, and at the advice of her mother, she found herself at a back alley abortion facility, and ready to take her child's life. And at the last minute, she changed her mind and she left.
And that was you.
Location.
That was you.
Yeah. Yeah, and she abandoned me 2 hours after I was born at a hospital. She left me at a hospital. And so, yeah, you know, my biological father is a convicted rapist, and I was abandoned as an infant. If there is any better definition of unwanted, you're not going to find it. You know, I was literally the example of an unwanted child, but every child is wanted by someone.
Right.
You know, and my adoptive parents, I'll tell you what, they were praying for a child. And when they got the call that there was this little girl that was abandoned at a hospital, that was all my parents needed to hear was, you know what, we've been praying for her for a long time. And my parents are still married today after 50 years. I'm in the middle of three girls, and they literally are my life. And they wanted me, you know, so, you know, some people say that, you know, these are all unwanted babies that are surrendered under the Safe Haven Law. That's absolutely incorrect. These women, it's not that they don't love their child. You know, they love their child. They just find themselves in a situation that they feel they can't get out of. And meeting my biological mother, I was able to connect with her in that way of understanding the circumstances, which allowed me to have empathy for the women that I work with today.
You know, I was talking with a firefighter just on another interview recently, and he was talking about that the impact of the Safe Haven Law and the impact of the baby box is that sometimes people will call. There have been many, many saves because women will call to find out about the baby box, and
yeah.
And then that results in them maybe going to a hospital. Can you talk about that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you know, we get tons of calls all over America thinking that these boxes are at, you know, in every state, and they're not. We're only legal in five states right now. But women call us wanting to know where the closest baby box is to them, and our counselor on the other end of the phone is working with her to try and figure out what the crisis is and how can we help her to have her make a good choice. You know, the Safe Haven Law is a good choice if it's the last choice she has.
Mm-hmm.
We recently had a woman call our hotline that wanted the closest box, and she was from northwest Indiana, and she was homeless. And this is an easy fix for us. When she starts talking about being homeless and she wants to surrender under the Safe Haven Law, we immediately put our resources to work and got her into a maternity home in Indiana with keeping her child with her. You know, this maternity home is now working with her to get her off the streets and get her a parenting plan, you know, when she thought she really just wanted to surrender under the safe haven law. So we literally saved two lives in this matter. Mm. You know, but that is very common where women call us and they want the box, and, you know, we're working with them to do something better than the box. And that box is a last resort option for these moms.
If you're just joining us right now, we're talking with Monica Kelsey. She's the founder of the Safe Haven Baby Boxes here in Indiana. And tell us about the baby footprint that is your logo. That's not just a random footprint, is it?
No. You know, Linda Zanacco, who is amazing, she runs the ministry He Knows Your Name. And back in 2014, this little girl was found in the woods at Eagle Creek Woods, down there in Indianapolis. And this
I think every
full term.
Yeah, everybody remembers that story that reads the Indianapolis Star.
Yeah, it was absolutely just horrific. But this child was full term, and there was a fire station not too far from this location. And but this child was left in the woods, and she passed away. And Linda Zanacco from He Knows Your Name. Buried this baby and adopted this little girl, and this footprint is baby Amelia's footprint that now is on every Safe Haven baby box, and is kind of like the footprint, the thumbprint, as you will, for our organization.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk some more with Monica Kelsey about the baby Safe Haven, the Safe Haven baby boxes. Stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor, tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
I learned how many people we could help and how good you feel after you've helped others.
I know Lent is about giving, so I want to give.
These kids are talking about CRS Rice Bowl, a Lenten program known by generations of Catholic families. Children love it because they experience different cultures and gain a lasting impression of the people they are helping. You can bring CRS Rice Bowl into your home and experience the joy of seeing your children or grandchildren find new meaning in Lent. Visit crsricebowl.org to get started.
Rice Bowl inspired me to pray more and to pray for those who are less fortunate.
The Spring 40 Days for Life campaign will take place March 6th through April 14th. This peaceful, prayerful vigil will be held from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 7 p.m. on Sunday outside the Planned Parenthood offices at 8590 Georgetown Road. Join pro-lifers from across central Indiana in praying to change hearts and save lives. For more information or to sign up to participate, go to 40daysindy.org. 40 days, peaceful, prayerful, and powerful.
Most of us like to keep up on what's going on in the world and try to catch a little news each day. Did you know that you can catch the very latest Catholic news right on our website? We have news from Rome, from around the world, and here at home, updated every day so you always know what's going on from a Catholic perspective. Check it out. Go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and look for the Catholic news headlines. There's always something new at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer, and Jim Ganley's at my side, and we're talking with Monica Kelsey. She is the founder of the Safe Haven Baby Boxes. And could you just reiterate what the Safe Haven Baby Boxes are, just for our listeners?
Sure. It's a box that's placed in the side of fire stations and hospitals and allows a mother who doesn't want or can't care for her newborn child to surrender her child in one of our boxes at these designated locations. No questions asked and no fear of prosecution. This has been, this is law. So you know, basically it's to keep the mom safe and to keep the child safe as well.
And I know we mentioned that anonymity is really important. Can you talk why that's so important and what you found in your work?
Yeah, you know, women want anonymity. And it's clear when you look at the cases across the country, not just Indiana, but across the country where these women are going to safe haven locations and they're leaving their children at the doorstep. And we just had a case in Lake Charles, Louisiana, last week where a little girl, full term, placenta still attached, was found in the grass of a hospital, 50 feet from the front door. And it's you have to look at that and you have to say, why did this mother go all the way to this hospital, knowing that it's a safe haven location, but not walk through the door and hand her child to a person? And it's pretty clear that this mother did not want to be identified. For whatever reason, she did not want to be identified. So she felt that the only option she had was to leave her child as close as she could, hoping someone would find it. And this child was found alive, thank the good Lord. But, you know, this is why I started Safe Haven Baby Boxes, is so these women, like this woman in Lake Charles, Louisiana, has a safer option. You know, we can turn around and tell these women that, hey, you got to walk into these facilities and hand this child over, and they're not going to hear that. You can tell somebody all day long what they have to do, but they're going to do what they want to do or what they feel comfortable doing. And to hand a child to a person that you don't know and to basically say, I want what's best for my child and it's not me, is going to be one of the hardest things these women ever do. Mm-hmm. So taking that face-to-face interaction away is gives the woman more power and more incentive to do the right thing, because she doesn't have to talk to anyone. Mm-hmm. So anonymity is key. It is key with the Safe Haven Law.
Now, these baby boxes sound like an absolutely fantastic thing. I am assuming they are not inexpensive. I wonder if you could talk about how much they cost and where the funding comes from to install these.
Yeah, you know, we get no government funds, no state funds. One of the things when I started this organization, I didn't want the government in my ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And so through our attorneys, we decided that we would lease these boxes out and give the location a lifetime lease. Mm. And basically what that means is they can have it for as long as they want, and all they pay is one cost, which is $10,000. We take care of the boxes, so every year the box gets recertified by our electrical engineer. And if anything needs to be repaired, it's at our expense, not the fire stations. A lot of these fire stations don't have a lot of extra money because they're paying for life-saving equipment mm-hmm. that they need on car accidents and stuff like that. So that was very important that, I didn't want them to be, burdened with the expenses of just trying to save the life of a child. So, if any fire station or hospital wants to do the program, the cost is $10,000, and you can have it for as long as you want, and we take care of it. We maintain it. We fix it. And when technology improves, we also upgrade the technology. If you guys remember the box in Cold Springs Fire Department, it was Safe Haven Baby Box number 2.
Mm-hmm.
So this one was installed 3 years ago, and I'll tell you, technology has advanced so much in just the last 3 years that these boxes are almost outdated. We actually dropped off one of our new boxes to Cold Springs Fire Department, and they're installing. They're basically taking the old box out and reinstalling a new one, and it costs them nothing to do this,
mm-hmm.
nothing. You know, our supporters that support us do so by their donations, and we do a ton of fundraising to make sure that we're able to put these boxes in locations and to maintain them. And also, you know, the awareness and education is probably one of our biggest expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's billboards across Indiana, Ohio, all of the states that we're legal in. We actually have billboards in a state that we're not legal in that advertises just the Safe Haven Law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, billboards are huge, actually absolutely huge, but they're one of our biggest expenses as well. So donations and fundraisers, if there's a fundraiser near you, please come, enjoy yourself. I'm usually at every one of the fundraisers unless something else is going on. I always try to schedule myself so people can come and talk to me and see where my heart is, because this is not a thing about money for me. This is a ministry that I started. And just to kind of go back just a little bit, when I got to meet my biological mother, she didn't have any more children after me, which is very common with rape victims.
Mm-hmm.
But she had a niece. And this niece was kind of like by her side as my, you know, her niece was growing up, and they were very close. Well, now, and that niece, her name is Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
And now Teresa is on my board of directors fighting to save the lives of abandoned children like I once was. And that, to me, just speaks volumes, because it literally is my adoptive family with my birth family and me fighting to make sure that no woman in this country feels that she doesn't have any options left.
Now, if somebody is a member of an organization, and they say, gee, that sounds like something we would like to support. Maybe they want to have a fundraiser or pass the hat or whatever they might do. How do they get in touch with you? Where do they send the money to be sure that it goes for a baby box?
Yeah, if they go to our website at www.safehavenbabyboxes.com, they can go to the donate page, they can go to the events page, and come to one of our fundraisers. You know, a lot of organizations are reaching out and saying, how can we help? And we've had a lot of the Right to Life organizations here in Indiana pay for a billboard campaign. So they basically take on the expense, they set everything up, and it's all advertising the Safe Haven Law. And that's huge for us because that's awareness and education that's not costing our foundation. So when, you know, when you're on the pro-life side of things, it's for all life, and we all work together. And I'm just blessed that the Right to Life organizations has just been inspired by us, which we're just so thankful.
So you did mention about you do go to various fundraisers, and there is a fundraiser actually coming up at St. Elizabeth Seton Saturday, March 9th, and there's a dinner, and I think you are actually going to be speaking at that. Is that correct?
Yes, actually myself, I'm going to be speaking at that along with my biological family. So people can kind of come and see, you know, the circumstances. And, you know, Teresa, one of the neat things about Teresa is Teresa never knew I existed. That was kind of like the family secret. So now she's literally one of my best friends, and to be able to walk alongside her on this ministry is just such a blessing. So coming to that fundraiser, you're going to be able to see our hearts and get to talk to us and really see why the ministry is the way it is. But it is March 9th at St. Elizabeth Seton. You can go to our website for more information under events. You can even donate on that same page or purchase tickets.
So if you're just joining us right now, and we're kind of in the tail end of the show, but we have been talking, and we are talking with Monica Kelsey. She's the founder of Safe Haven Baby Boxes. It's another kind of a way of really being pro-life and saving babies that may find themselves in a crisis family situation. When you talk about awareness, how aware are people in, I guess, the state of Indiana of the Safe Haven Law and the ability of being able to surrender your child either to a baby box or to one of the designated locations? How is there an awareness problem, or is awareness pretty pretty good in good situation in the state? What's your take on that?
Well, when we first started, every location I went into to train first responders, some of the first responders could not tell me the law. This was not an advertised law. This was something that they passed back in 2001, but no funds were designated for the awareness and education of the Safe Haven Law. So people were not talking about it anymore. So we had a huge problem with education and awareness. Now that we've been around the last 3 years and we've had, you know, 3 babies in boxes and 45 safe surrenders, which were handoff surrenders, and mm-hmm. we've also done 5 adoptions, you know, people are seeing the work of Safe Haven Baby Boxes, and plus when they drive past a fire station that has a baby box, it automatically triggers, oh, that's the Safe Haven Law where you can surrender your newborn, no questions asked. So people are constantly talking now that these boxes are in place and that we're having all these saves. One of the things that I get criticized the most is, why do I advertise the surrenders? And that's pretty simple. We want people to know it works. Mm-hmm. We want people to know that these women are doing the right thing. The second baby that was actually placed in our box, mom called us 8 days later and wanted to be reunited with this child. And we hired an attorney for her because we're not just about saving babies in boxes. We're about saving moms as well. And through this process, I've really got to know this mom, and I can sincerely call her a friend of mine. But I asked her, I said, you know, why did you choose the box? Where did you know about the box?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I knew about the box because of the first baby that was placed in the box when you guys held that press conference. And then she said that when we held the press conference for the child that she placed in the box, she said, I hung on every word. She says, I wanted to make sure that my child was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that speaks volumes, but it also tells the people in our communities that this this is a law that is working, and it gives the education and awareness to the people who might not get it in other places. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a twofold reason.
Now, Monica, are these baby boxes obvious where they are? I mean, if I drive by, would I notice, oh, there's one on the fire station? Or do I have to know where it is and really look for it?
A lot of them you have to look for it. We don't want people just coming straight to the boxes. We want them to come straight to the 800 number. So when we come out and we advertise and we educate, it's literally on the Safe Haven Law and the boxes being a last resort. We direct them to that 800 number. So like the woman that was homeless, you know, that was an easy fix, and she was going to surrender her child and never see this child again. You know, so we want them to do that. But our website, if anybody is in this situation, they can go to our website, and we'll give you locations, and then we'll tell you if it's on the east side of the building, west side of the building, or if you call our counselor, she'll give you exact directions to that facility and to the baby box. But you kind of have to be looking at it. But some of the locations have banners fill up, and it says home of baby box number whatever. And so that is a baby box location, and we're working on getting signs at these locations for the fronts as well.
Well, we only have about a minute left. Could you just give us the webpage one more time?
Sure. It's www.safehavenbabyboxes.com. You can also go to our Facebook page, which is Safe Haven Baby Boxes. The 800 number is there if you are in crisis and you need to talk to somebody today. Call us. We're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And if you want to hear Monica speak, she's going to be at St. Elizabeth Seton at a fundraiser Saturday, March 9th at 6:30 p.m. And you can get more information on that at their webpage, www.safehavenbabyboxes.com. Monica Kelsey has been my guest. She is the founder of Safe Haven Baby Boxes. Monica, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Hey, thank you guys so much for having us.
God bless you in your work.
God bless you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.